Aniara presents The Key to Caroline. Book 2 in the series about Caroline by Peter Barlack. Chapter 1. You must stop the police commissioner, Nancy says in a weak voice. I promise we'll do everything we can, I say. As usual, I find it difficult to leave. The plan was just to pop by and give her a kiss, but I always end up staying. Today, apparently, the police commissioner has nicked Nancy's purple velvet dress. I sit in the wooden chair beside her, holding her hand, my back aching because I'm sitting at an awkward angle, trying not to breathe in the faint smell of urine. The clock radio, sitting next to photographs of her children and grandchildren who never visit, shows 11:39. I should be at the restaurant by now. I'm going to be more than 45 minutes late. Nancy was my favourite neighbour, and we often had coffee and pastries together. Last winter she had a stroke whilst I was at her place. The ambulance arrived quickly, but her brain suffered some damage, and her entire left side is paralysed so she can't walk. She's practically blind now and lies in room 103 at the Sunset Nursing Home, never to return home again. Apart from me and the time-pressed care assistants, her only company is death anxiety. And her imaginary friends, of course, the police commissioner who takes her clothes, a kind elephant named Lukewarm who lives in the wardrobe, and a girl from Beckham Burger who walks across Nancy's bed at night. That's why she wakes up with back pain. Most of the time she's confused, but now and then she's completely lucid. Last week she said, "If I'm reborn, Caroline, I want to come back as your child." Perhaps the sweetest compliment I've ever received in my entire life. I bend down and kiss her on the cheek. She sighs and tries to say something, but I have to leave now. Maya comes in with a tray of medicines on a steel trolley. Maya, who is from the Philippines, is maybe 50 years old, 5 feet tall, and always laughing. "Hello, Caroline. How are you?" she says with her melodic, Spanish-sounding accent. "I'm fine," I lie. "And you?" "Very good. Very good." Maya walks up to Nancy's bed and gently pulls back the blanket. "And how is little Nancy doing today?" Nancy mumbles something about people licking things here. Maya pulls off the cap of an insulin pen, as I've learnt it's called. She takes out a needle from a small white packet, attaches it to the insulin pen, and turns the dial on top. "We'll just do a small injection here." She lifts up the white silk dress and gently pinches the small fold of skin on the tummy before giving Nancy an injection just below the navel. Nancy doesn't even react. Maya withdraws the needle after a few seconds. With experienced hands, she gathers up the waste and the syringe, placing everything back on the tray. "I'll come back to feed you." She leaves, and I say I need to go too. Nancy holds my hand in a firm grip. I know she can't see anything, but it feels like she's staring at me. She looks terrified. It's as if she's gathering strength to say something. I force a smile. "Take me with you," she says, with only a slight tremor in her voice. "I wish I could, but you know that's not possible. Please take me away from here." "That's impossible, I'm afraid. And here you have everything you..." "I don't want to anymore." She sighs deeply and relaxes. It's as if all her strength has been spent. "What don't you want anymore?" I ask. But Nancy appears to have fallen asleep. I look out the window. As usual, the woman with amputated legs sits in her wheelchair in the leafy courtyard, chain-smoking. What did Nancy mean by that? I linger for a few seconds before saying goodbye. She doesn't respond. As soon as I close the door behind me, I start running. I run as fast as I can through the corridor that feels like a cross between a block of flats and a hospital. I suppose it's meant to feel like home, but for me it only increases the sense of unease, and everyone knows what it means when a nameplate disappears. I slow down when I reach the common room, or the Walker parking lot as I call it. There sits Goster, who always wants to play chess, and for his sake, I've even learnt how the pieces move. I'm checkmated, or whatever it's called, within 2 minutes every time we play. But this time he sees I'm in a hurry, so he doesn't even ask. Barbro, though, keeps up her usual form. "Come and lick my pussy, little girl," she shouts, her voice echoing through the hall. "Oh, do stop that nonsense," mutters Rune, whose back is so crooked he looks like a semicircle.